A work of public art is causing a big stir in Indianapolis, and it hasn't even gone up yet. African Americans have protested the work at civic meetings, in the media, and recently in a rally at the state capitol.
It's very offensive. He has no name, no shoes, no shirt.
That is in a subservient position.
The dispute involves a statue of a freed slave that was intended to be placed in downtown Indianapolis along the city's cultural trail. It's by the celebrated African-American artist Fred Wilson, and it's called E Pluribus Unum. The figure of the freed slave is a quotation from the city's 1902 Civil War memorial. He's bowed down, shirtless, and holding up a flag. The artist, Wilson, wanted to take that guy off the memorial and give him a place of his own in the 21st century.
So that he is a person, he's a man, and he can represent something else than something positive.
Sounds reasonable to me, but not to a lot of people in Indianapolis, including Bill Crawford, who's a longtime state legislator. He says the proposed sculpture would perpetuate bad stereotypes.
The original sculpture had a representation of an African-American sitting down now, holding a flag, shoeless, bare-chested.
The original sculpture from 110 years ago.
Yes, from 110 years ago. And it was emblematic of the concept of noble suffering. We were not around. We had no power. The Ku Klux Klan was strong here.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal from Fred Wilson did not even allow for any evolution. The brother that was there, the only change they made was by adding the diaspora flag. So we're representing all the flags of all the nations where African slaves were there. But we've evolved from that. We can afford to buy our own shoes, our own pants. We can buy our own shirts now. We've come from slavery, actually, to the promised land with the election of an African-American male as the CEO of the most powerful nation in the world.
Do you appreciate, though, that, I mean, you may dislike, find objectionable that it isn't more modern or heroic in its depiction of African-Americans, but it certainly seems like it was well-intended, and the people who gave the money were well-intended.
The path to hell is paved with good intentions. Again, the question that I would ask, and I've got two grandchildren and then two great-grandchildren, what would inspire them looking at that? If they say, Granddaddy, what does that mean? Dr. King had a way of saying, we ain't what we ought to be, we ain't what we're going to be, but thank God we ain't what we was. And as long as we keep looking back to what we were, we are never going to be what we ought to be and what we're going to be. And the other thing that I find objectionable is the fact that in downtown Indianapolis, in the downtown Miles Square, where we benefit economically from all the conventions, there is one African-American business.
It sounds as though you're angry about your exclusion from the mainstream economy of Indianapolis and see this as a kind of small potato attempt at recompense.
Absolutely. I apologize if I went off on the radio.
That's okay.
Again, why was African Americans the only one to be acknowledged and singled out for recognition on the cultural trail? There are other ethnic groups here. That's something that is suspicious and sinister to me. I'm questioning the motivation. Why?
But you don't really think it was sinister. I mean,
I think it was sinister.
Really?
I absolutely do.
The people behind this decided, let's figure out a way to denigrate African Americans?
Denigrate by their lack of knowledge of what. We were an afterthought. It was like a plantation where the overseer of the plantation, the plantation owners, decide what's going to happen, and everybody else has to go along.
So it's paternalistic, but not
yes,
necessarily evil
yes,
in
is.
Intent.
That's a better word.
Okay. I want to play a little bit of tape. We talked to Fred Wilson earlier. I just want to play a little bit of tape of him and see if you want to react to it.
Of course, it doesn't make me happy that people are upset with this particular sculpture, but I am really thrilled that people are in dialogue about imagery, the city, and how race is infused in that dialogue. You know, it's not about about shutting down. It's about opening up. And it's a shame that for some it's just they've shut down.
I have nothing against Fred Wells. I have never met the man. In terms of dialogue, if Fred says that many voices are raised, I would agree with him. But the talk has all been one-sided.
So your view of public art, I guess, is that public art obliges the artist to come and be political and talk to the leaders and talk to the community as opposed to just do his or her art.
Yeah, public art, it can be challenging, but it cannot be in your face without asking our opinion, not necessarily our permission.
Right.
But at least ascertain our opinion.
Right.
Recognize us as human beings.
Representative Crawford, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bill Crawford is about to serve his 40th year in the Indiana legislature. The group backing the statue is now looking for another site in Indianapolis, but they acknowledge that the whole thing may be 86th. The artist Fred Wilson is philosophical.
You know, the regrets I would have is if this sort of came up and I really felt I didn't do my best work. You know, I didn't make a work that I can stand behind. I put all my all into this piece, but in the end, the people of Indianapolis have to really come together, and I'll abide by whatever comes down the pike.
So what do you think about this controversy? How much input should artists have to get from the public when they make public art? Is there some work in your city that you find offensive? Tell us at studio360.org.